listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life for Wednesday, August 25th already. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, as always.
Glad to have you, and glad to have everyone joining us live in the chat. We love to have you here. Makes for a dynamic discussion. And thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us on the archives. We always appreciate you, too, and we hope that you get to take something away from this that really helps. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We're going to have a great discussion tonight, but first we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. Finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's topic, facing the unknown, kind of a broad topic. We're going to go over a few different disparate points on this, but, you know, I have to say, you know, in many ways, there's nothing more terrifying, utterly terrifying to your core than the unknown. It makes me think of authors like H.P. Lovecraft, who used the unknowable, the unknown, the strange and alien, things that we couldn't relate to in his sci-fi horror, and all of the things that spawn from that. Some of the best fiction that kind of gives you an unsettling feeling is that thing that invokes the unknown, the unknowable. Things that come from, you know, Twilight Zone, Stephen King, all these different authors, they invoke this great fear that we have of the unknown. But this is something that we have had to struggle with for the entirety of our existence. There will always be far more that we don't know than we do. And it's different for everybody, of course, but, you know, how do we navigate this world? How do we face these challenges?
And you know, Michael, we're always in the unknown. We trick ourselves to believing that we're not.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. You know, I think that when somebody says, oh, life's simple, I'm like, ah, I don't know about that. I've often, you know, maybe incorrectly, and maybe I do have a bias towards complexity in some ways, but I've always rejected, you know, simple answers. It just doesn't feel right. It feels like there's always more variables and things. You know, it feels like there's more going on to things. You know, there's all these little different, you know, influences happening all at the same time, and it's always there's no human that will ever be able to understand the totality of our own human societies, like economies and how large bureaucracies work and things like that. They're so complex, not to mention the metaphysical questions that we grapple with, especially on this program. It's immense and daunting.
Well, again, I'm going to go back to that. Before the program, I was thinking about this very topic and, you know, particularly what we talk about tonight. And I was remembering a time before television, radio, a time before, you know, way back when simply enough, hunter-gatherer or farmer or anything, you know, you're going to go hunting for food. You hope you'll catch something. Mm-hmm. It's unknown. See, you go out to harvest potatoes. You hope there will be potatoes. See,
especially if you're Irish.
You go picking berries and you hope there's enough berries or that there isn't. See, we're always in this place of hope, you know, and this assuming, a determination. To me, that's a testimony to the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It really is the indomitable power of the human spirit. And that we continue to persevere into the unknown constantly. And I think we become more of a complacent society because we expect there to be power. We expect running water. We expect things. And in that is we, of course, when it goes out, we're out of our minds, right? And so that unknown is we don't sit around thinking much about what if the power goes out? You know, what if? Because we assume it will be. But we're always living in that unknown with an assumption. So you have a day job. You're going to work. You assume that job is going to be there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect that you could go in one day and you're laid off. Or, you know, something happened to that business and it went broken. Oh, they shut the doors. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean. We're always in an unknown, but we don't know we're in an unknown.
Well, I think that's why we have these constructs in our minds. You know, it's if we have hope and we have reasonable expectation, but nobody knows for sure. And everybody on an intellectual level really knows that. But sometimes it hits home emotionally and it just hits differently.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you're saying.
I think that nowadays, though, there are so many unknowns. And look, we're living in a pandemic, right? Where read the news. You know, it's like, oh, my God, technology. Oh, the Internet. And,
right.
And there are so many unknowns that are constantly being thrown at us, mostly by way of fear. That keeps us on our toes, right? So that we're easily navigated through whatever propaganda is wanted of us. And we do that. It's very hard these days to weed out what's truthful, what's not truthful.
Mm.
And that's an unknown.
Well,
every time you read the news, is that true news or is that a, you know, a spin on something?
You know, and the funny thing is we talk about how, you know, these days it feels that way. But I think back in history and, you know, if we think that there's a lot that's unknown now, oh, geez, just imagine all the unknown things. And imagine how easy it was to mislead a large group of people because there was no way to cross-reference it. So the king tells you, hey, you know those guys over there? They hate
They're
you.
Bad.
They want to take everything from you. So if you want to protect yourselves, you got to go over there and kill them.
Yep.
Who are they, what else do they know? They have no, you know, independent news or, you know, people telling them what it's like over there or open communication of any kind. We think about the unknown we face today, the hunter-gatherers and on, up until relatively recently, were inundated with it, which led to, you know, deep and intense spiritualism and it intense, you know, devotion to certain unfortunate things like brutal rulers and brutal systems of religion.
Well, you mean know, some of them we still have?
Some of them we still have, but I'm talking about, hey, you know, every harvest season, we have to sacrifice a virgin so we can make sure a good crop comes in, you know, that kind of. Because you want to think that you have control over things. So it pushes some people to do extraordinary and often horrific things.
Well, this is where I think where we're at in this conversation today is kind of how do you navigate the stress of feeling like the world is unknown and not knowing what foot to put in front of the other. I think that's really where we're going with this conversation. You know, facing the unknowns is one foot in front of the other. Keep doing what you know to do and always keep an open mind that, you know what, somebody could pull out the rug,
Like
can change on a dime, but that you have the skills, the wherewithal to manage. And yeah, there's, look, a lot of people fall through the cracks, right? And that for a lot of reasons, there are people who can't get up, but that's where we're humanity that's supposed to be humanity and helping one another. Because when you're vulnerable, I'll be there for you. I got your back. And so I think that that's where we're in this learning curve at the moment, again, as if we're not always, about how to face the unknowns and do it together rather than feeling each of us is autonomous. Because we really are in this together. And, you know, being okay to be flexible, not to short circuit when, you know, whoa, that changed in a moment. Because that's why I think a lot of people are angry, right? Anger is fear and not knowing what to do. So that, you know, they feel like they have to do something. And often that's misdirected or misguided in that anger, whether it's somebody yelling at a cashier or people getting on big bandwagons and marching in the street for one particular thing when there's a big picture. See, so it's where people are channeling their energy, and it is basically facing the unknown. I'm not talking about, you know, people standing up for something of things that have happened and wanting changes. That's not what I'm talking about. It's kind of like here, BC is the second province in Canada now to decide on, you know, COVID passports. And very soon, the middle of September, you won't be able to go in a restaurant, you won't be able to go to a sports game without showing you've been vaccinated. I said, here we go. So, sure, you know, if people were having a hard time wearing masks, now you're going to make them show a passport. and obviously somebody in their insanity thinks that they can make change by enforcing this. But I don't know how this is going to work, because people are going to be mad. And they're mad because they're confused.
Right. And
that confusion adds to the fear. And then the anger, and then they lash out. And what my point is that sometimes it's not channeled in a good way.
Absolutely. So. And it's, you know, when it comes to the vaccinations, you know, in a lot of ways I get it. It's very new. And it's very new, and therefore still very unknown to, you know, most of us, to laymen, unless you spent your life dedicated to this science and you understand the intricacies of it and you understand the depth of it, then it's an unknown, and you're taking somebody at their word. And ultimately, we all are. I haven't done the research, so I'm ultimately taking somebody at their word that this is how it is. And you just hope that you cross-reference enough, you look at the data, and, you know, you hopefully go with the vast majority, and you hope that they're right. And odds are, they are. But there's always elements of the unknown. Facing the unknown is the crux of the human experience. Tomorrow is never written, which is why, again, that's another common thing in religion, you know, the notion of destiny. Destiny is so comfortable. It feels so good to think that you have a preordained destiny by something or someone. It means that something is happening, that it's going along a path. It's not just an unknown chaos where anything could happen. And, you know, sometimes I've said that we have to challenge ourselves to kind of stare into the black, into the chaos, into the unknown, into realizing that we can't know. It is unknowable, and we will never know. And in many ways, that makes me then fall back to some Eastern philosophies, especially Buddhism, one of my favorites, where it was a common saying of the Buddha that, you know, there is this life to live and no other as of now. You have to live this life to its fullest, take things as they come, understand that much of life is outside of your control, but look at the beauty in each and every day. Life is beautiful because it is transient by nature. It is temporary. And even though we face great fear and great unknowns and uncertainty, and we make things up as we go, and we try to keep that fear at bay through a variety of means, even if it leads to horrible ends in the case of some, you know, fanatics, people that want to believe that they know what the world is like, and they believe so strongly that they think that anybody that doesn't believe that way must be evil. It all stems from that ultimate fear of the unknown and want to have a sense of control and understanding of things that are unknowable, that are beyond human comprehension, that we can't know. And that's just, you know, one side of the coin. You know, I think there's also what we, I think mostly you, Dr. Hunter, kind of talked about earlier, was that there are a lot of things in our personal life that, you know, in our day-to-day lives, our fear of the unknown, of what might happen if we change, if we go outside of our normal routine, if we go outside of our normal behavior and patterns, kind of stepping into that unknown is its own battlefield. You know, it's its own challenge that takes its own courage. And
well, you know, a friend of mine said the other day, she's wondering what the new normal will be. What is the new normal? And I think in every society we build a culture. And there is a culture of behavior, a culture of conduct, a culture of what you alluded to, Michael, of that, the norm of what we can expect in day-to-day living, you know, socially, economically, mm-hmm. and otherwise. What is the new norm? And we don't know what that is, because I think life has been changing so quickly that there hasn't been a set norm, I think, probably since the 1970s, 1960s. You know, well, what is the new norm? I don't know. It changes in a week.
What was the norm in the 60s? Wasn't, and I can't say from firsthand experience because I'm so very, very young and don't let anybody tell you different, but...
Well, the norms were dependent on what part of society you're in. If you were, like, the parents, you were having heart attacks. But if you're the young people, it's exploring a consciousness, an altered
right.
consciousness.
And I was going to say, it wasn't
the music.
Exactly. Wasn't the 60s and the 70s kind of defined by changing the norm and, frankly, rapid social change? You have the sexual revolution. You have a lot of, you know, free thinking. Expansion, you're abandoning the dogma.
It was setting a new type of normal. So you could almost, well, from one perspective, see that there was this different normal setting
right.
in. Well, you know, that we can see rock and roll. We can see women dancing with short skirts. You know, mm-hmm. we can see that. However, now, what is the new norm? I was listening to Trevor Noah talking with Arsenio Hall the other day, and they were talking about this new norm of what to wear. Because now that they've been doing, you know, working from home, all their remote interviews, you know, like interviewing the president with a hoodie, wearing, you know, and you're wearing a hoodie, will he go back to suits and leather shoes? And he's saying probably not. So he's setting a new norm
yeah.
for himself. And that's what I'm saying. What is the new norm when it comes to employment? What's the new norm setting in to be? Are all employers going to require vaccinations? Which, by the way, does not guarantee you won't get COVID. You know, I think this is the biggest myth of people who are vaccinated running around thinking they're impervious. You can still get and give COVID, people,
yeah.
even though you've been vaccinated. So,
I mean, but it's all probability. It's all statistics and likelihoods, right? So
well,
if you're vaccinated, you're less likely to catch COVID and you're less likely to spread it, but you still very much can. And if you
can,
get,
and you're less likely to cost the healthcare system a lot of money
yes.
and use up the ventilators. So I get it.
Yeah.
However, what is that norm
right.
that's setting in? See, we don't know, and that's why we feel like we're in this really unknown place.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we navigate that? You know, you do your best to what you believe in and what you think is right for you, and you put one foot in front of the other. Are you looking for a job? Are you looking for a place to live? Are you in the process of a change in your life? And I'm going back to, as silly as this sounds, it's going back to that indomitable power of the human spirit where, you know, am I going to go hunting today, and am I going to, you know, nab a rabbit for stew?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, the rabbit's thinking, am I going to be able to get away today?
And it's like my daughter called me this morning, and she's had a couple of rough days, and she said, Mom, I woke up this morning, and I just decided it's a new day. I said, there you go. It's a new day. So, and we have to do that. Every day is a new day, and it is filled with any and all possibilities. And I think that's kind of where we are as a curious and hopeful species. Do we break? Do we fall apart? Do we
have bad days?
Do we stress? Do we, you know, have anxiety attacks? Do you know, we take painkillers? You know, yeah. But that it's hopefully what we get through this, and that's why we advocate kindness so much, because that's what we want to be most infectious. Is no matter what, kindness, you know, a kind word, a kind smile, a kind look, keeps our hopes up.
It does.
You know, the hopes that, you know what, I will get a rabbit for stew tonight. You know, I can, I'm going to go hunting. Better than sitting at home saying, I probably wouldn't get a rabbit anyway, I'll just go back to bed. You know? So that's where I think that, you know, how do we deal with the unknown? My point is that we're always in the unknown. We trick ourselves into believing we're not. We trick ourselves into believing that life is consistent and not changing, and that life is going to give us what we need and provide, when everything is always tenuous. And in my view, look, I have stressful days too, like anybody else, but I probably live better in this absence of security than most people. And, you know, by my nature being self-employed and, you know, just navigating life. And a lot of things that were important to other people weren't important to me. So it's, and you got to roll with it. The rug can get pulled out from under so quickly, and you can say, man, I'm mad for a minute. You know, I just didn't get accepted into this art show. And my daughter says, how are you feeling? I said, I was mad for a minute. She goes, for a minute? And I said, well, longer than that's a waste of time. I got to get on to the next thing.
So, you know, I got to say, sometimes I just need to feel it. You know, sometimes, you know, there'll be something that irritates me. And you know what? I don't want to be okay with it. You know, there's something going on that, you know, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to, you know, work through it. I'm going to fix it. But you know what? I don't have to be happy about it. I'm not going to be. It's just one of those things where it's, you know, sometimes it's okay to not be happy all the time. You know, it's okay to work through your emotions. It's okay to be, to feel what you need to feel in the moment. But I do completely agree that when you begin to dwell, when you begin to stagnate and kind of just sit in something, it's not healthy. It's not good. And it's just going to drag you down and rob you of your energy. And I know that because of all of my personal experience doing exactly that. It's never worked out well. But,
I think the unknown, if we can, you know, in moving through this conversation, because it's such a big one, I might add.
Well, I mean.
There's so many ways to, you know, philosophize it, talk about it, vent it. But what do we do in actual? Mm-hmm. If you're having a day that says, I'm scared to death, that everything is so unknown, and I don't know what's going to happen, you have a choice. You can go watch Netflix and check out for a minute and get a good night's sleep. Or you can say, this is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
You can still watch Netflix, but it's kind of exciting because anything is possible. It means that I have to think a little harder. I have to, you know, that old cliche of step outside my box.
Right.
I have to be creative. Maybe I need to talk to a couple of friends about what opportunities there are, what they see is happening. Maybe there's a vantage point I haven't seen yet. You know, so again, if you're in that moment where the unknown is overwhelming, be okay with the overwhelming. And then reach out to a new idea, a new thought, pick up a book, go online, do some research, watch a YouTube video, talk to a friend, and move the energy. This is my point, is move that energy.
Yeah.
And it may not go where you expect it to because you have a frame of reference. Your frame of reference only thinks within certain parameters. And maybe this moment is going beyond that, and that's really uneasy. You say, oh, I never thought of that for myself. Oh my God, could I do that? Would I be good enough? Do I have the skills for that? And say, well, why not? You know? And be okay with not having control.
That's the kicker, isn't it? Understanding it is. That there's certain things we do have influence over and control over, and there's much, much that we do not. And there's a balance to life. You know, there's a balance to all things. And when it comes to the unknown and how terrifying that can be, imagine how equally terrifying in some respects it would be if everything was known. You know, first off, you know, to know when you die, it is its own little existential nightmare. You know, I have always truly felt that there are many times no worse things than utter boredom. And to know everything is to not have mystery. And there's a famous Albert Einstein quote that there is nothing more beautiful to experience than the mysterious.
Well, I like it. And I'm going to say this to everybody to keep perspective, too. We live in a place, you know, wherever you're, you know, again, relative to the planet. If you're living in a fairly westernized, developing country, we have our issues. But we're not in other countries where you have no power over anything in your life. So that's where I kind of gather my forces. When I feel overwhelmed, I gather my forces, and I'm really glad that I'm not that woman I've just heard about who's diagnosed with brain cancer.
Yeah.
I'm not this other individual I happen to know who has terminal cancer. I'm not this other individual who is in a wheelchair. You know, I get perspective from that, and I know it's not good to compare. Sorry, there's a plane going over. We have a lot of water bombers over here right now, by the way, and my window is open. So it's not good to compare, but it gets me back in my body to give my head a shake, to say, I got it pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed. My stuff is real, and it's real to me. I'm not going to invalidate that. I'm going to take all of that into consideration. But I have some flexibility here, so I need to smack myself upside the head, get a good night's sleep, maybe have a brandy or two before you go to bed. You know, get up in the morning. It's a new day. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen in a new day. And if you live in a place that allows for any possibility in a new day, we're blessed. So I'm good with that. And that's why I'm good with the unknown. I would not be good with the unknown if I'm in a refugee camp somewhere, and bless their hearts over there, in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So get perspective. And that's how give yourself a reality check. And we're okay.
Absolutely.
We got this.
I completely agree. I always think back to try to put our modern lives in historic context. We have it way easier than anybody in the span of history, except for perhaps the very wealthy and some of the advanced societies. But, you know, the common person living in a developed country has a better quality of life than humans have at almost any time. And even in other countries, the rate of those in poverty has been cut drastically in the last 30 years. Doesn't mean that we don't have a lot further to go, but it means we've been making progress. Let's not be blind to that progress. The world in many ways is a better place than it ever has been. Let's not abandon those gains. Let's not throw, you know, the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, just because there are things we don't like. Let's not destroy society because we're unhappy with those things we don't like. Let's fix them. And we need to come together for many things. Environmental causes, of course, come to mind and are paramount. There are other, you know, important things that we need to come together as a species to solve, warfare being one.
I think that this is true. And again, to keep perspective, we're not invalidating people who have real issues. A lot of homelessness, a lot of poverty.
Absolutely.
I mean, developing nations have their issues too. So, we're with you on that, people. We're just saying keep perspective about the opportunities and the hopefulness that you have within your spirit. And I remind myself of that too. You know, we're not exempt from this. So, you know, preaching to the choir, as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just keeping that perspective. So navigate it as best you can. And kind of, for me, I like it when things are constantly changing. I kind of enjoy it, actually. So I don't like things to be the same. Going to a day job to me is like feeling trapped, you know. And so I like that flexibility and the freedom and doing that. But each of us has our own nature, you know, and our own applications with that nature. So be okay with who you are and know that you do have opportunity and build on your hope. Keep your hope up. That's all we got.
Very well said. Yeah, the only thing I'll add is don't let fear of the unknown stop you from making a change that'll really make your life, you know, wonderful.
Yeah.
Don't let that kind of fear hold you back. So well said, Dr. Hunter. And you know, I think we've come to that time of the evening, haven't we?
You know what? Half an hour goes by just like that. Snap our fingers, it's gone, Mike.
I'm telling you. So we already have some people throwing their names in for cards tonight. And, of course, we pull inner oracle cards and pair that with a tarot card. See if we can't tell a little story.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's see. Who do we have up? Jamil.
Jamil is up first.
Let's see. Thinking about Jamil and... Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit, number 10. this is feeling familiar. Our card keeper's going to have to tell us if this one's been recent. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. Great card for the night.
Well, and when you have it supported with the moon, Jamil, it's all unknown. So I think that's awesome in relation to what we've been talking about. So here's the thing. The indomitable power of the human spirit supported by the moon is that there's a mystery afoot. There's other energy that hasn't surfaced yet. Think of it as something needs to be revealed, waiting for information. Something is coming to the surface. And I always think that that's a good thing. So if you are in this kind of a bit of this process or in a weight game of something, it's kind of what I want to say to you, just hang tight. Hang on, you know, keep going forward because something is going to be revealed to you, and I feel like the energy is really going to start moving. That's good.
Very nice message. All right, and I think we have Catherine next.
Catherine, nice to have you here.
All right, let's see. Catherine, I have number 28 in the Oracle deck, Do No Harm, Do Right, one of the foundational principles of this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles. Love that one.
Well, I do too, and you have the Ace of Hearts supporting that, Catherine. And the first thing that comes to mind is you might have to take the high road. You know, we have to choose our challenges. We have to choose our fights if we're going to have one. And this is saying, come from your heart. Kind of look at all the angles of a situation and see if it's really worth your effort to get into. Something that I'm inclined to want to say is, what do you hope to achieve? And if you can answer that fairly, then okay, you know, do what you feel or say what you feel you must. But this is saying to me, take the high road in a situation. You might want to challenge it. You might want to have a discussion with somebody. You know, I'm going to have a talk, but maybe it's time to just stay quiet and, you know, get perspective. Because sometimes we do more harm than good. You know, and that's what I mean about weighing it out. Gee, I sure hope that makes sense to you, Catherine. So.
All right. Let's see.
That's where I went with that one.
Well, very good. I like it. Ronnie, we have you up next, and let's see. I have number 45, inspiration and motivation.
Okay.
Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
So, Ronnie, that's supported with the Seven of Hearts. And my first question is, what's your dream? You know, and it's not in this symbol, like the Seven of Cups or the Seven of Hearts. It's not just about what's the fantasy and, you know, what's the illusion and what's unrealistic. It's more about, with inspiration, motivation, the support card being that Seven of Hearts is, what's the dream? What's your goal? And maybe this is just a moment to get a clarity on it or re-clarify it somehow to yourself. And because you've changed, right? And we've all changed. But I'm just saying, specific to you, your energy has changed, your ideas have changed, you have more information. So you can get clarity on what you'd like to do. Not just a matter of where you're going and what's the goal, what's the dream? So, because the dream is really, that's where the hope lives, right? What's the dream? So that's what motivates us. So, I think that's a great affirmation to you, Ronnie. I do.
All right. Let's see. Let me go back to my list here real quick. I think we have Wendy, our card keeper, next.
We do.
And Wendy, I have number 11, awareness. And as I talk about this, I wonder if I don't think so. I think we pulled cards tonight that we pulled before, but Wendy had pointed out that there are some cards we've never pulled, or at least haven't in a very long time since we began tracking.
We're in an energy shift.
All right, so awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Page of Wands. So that's the Page of Clubs. Oh, that's the Communicator card. What the first thing that comes to mind in this, Wendy, is it's not just a self-awareness about yourself, it's about the awareness of others.
Attitude.
You've changed, and you're learning a new language, learning new conversation, communication skills, and learning also what not to say to others. You can't unknow what you know.
Yeah, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
No. But then we see how others are not aware, and they don't want to be as aware as you are. They don't care. And we have to be okay with that. So how do we communicate with others when we realize that they're not as interested in certain things as we are, or that I am? And look, that could be about muffins. You know, when do you want to teach somebody how to make, you know, a proper fillet? They don't care, you know. But in this case, it might be about spirituality, about, you know, self-awareness and even metaphysics. And they don't have the same interest as you. So how do you communicate? So I think this new form of communication that you're learning and how you get along or interact with others around you, and certainly who your primary circle is. So I hope that makes sense, Wendy.
All right. Very nice message.
I would like to say thank you for the feedback, everybody. That's really important. And I mean, it's not necessary for me, but it really is supportive that, because we're kind of floundering over here.
And, well, I speak for yourself.
Yeah, okay. and putting it out there, like the first intuitive thoughts, you got these symbols that direct us in a certain way. And and even Wendy just said that's spot on. Thanks so much. And Jamil is funny. He said, how about astral muffins?
The best thing about astral muffins is they can be any flavor you want.
So we appreciate the feedback. And
oh, very much so.
The purpose for doing this exercise is that it's about conveying a message. The messages come in very many ways.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to use the Inner Oracle self-discovery cards partnered with the tarot, because that's kind of what I do. The Inner Oracle cards, of course, is Dr. Kelly. And somehow the cosmic, the universe, the frequency works through a message. So this is how we witness that. We observe it. We listen to it. And we kind of connect the dots. But information is everywhere.
Absolutely.
And always. And we just, sometimes even I in the unknown saying, you guys up there, like, are you listening to me? Or, it's like, who am I talking to anyway? My little spirits, one on each shoulder. So that's why we do this. It's kind of the exercise and the message and the support and the experiment, if you will. And that's why that feedback is so important.
Very well said. And, I can't really add anything much better to that other than the fact that I would say, it's easy on my end because I like to hear if it connects, and I hope that it does. And I think that very much so, a lot of the way that the universe works and the way that things kind of come to fruition and the way that the world kind of tries to tell us things is kind of through shifting probabilities. It's kind of through math. It's the universal language. And I think that, yes, the cards tell a story. And I have the easy part. I get to read a description from a handy guide that comes along with the Inner Oracle deck. And I hope it makes you think. Hope it connects. I know, at times it's made me think about various things. But I think we should all also just, give some respect to Dr. Hunter Yu for being able to intuit so accurately so often. And I think that's very impressive.
Thanks, Michael.
And I don't claim to that. I just hope that I can, through mathematics and probability, of which I'm not really much part, I hope you can get a message. But I think that the universe does try to tell us things sometimes through occurrence and through probability and shifts. Of course, we're human beings. We look for patterns, but it doesn't mean they're not there. That being said, go ahead.
Well, on that note, maybe we can talk about patterns next week.
Sure.
Universal patterns and frequencies, and see if we can make sense of them.
You don't have to talk me into not thinking up a topic. So. No, that sounds great, and I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. But how can it not be an interesting discussion with you, Dr.
Well,
Hunter?
Wendy just said that's why we keep track of the cards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we'll bring that into account, too.
And, Dr. Hunter, you'll have to fill me in because I had an error with my chat, and I had to refresh. So I lost the people who had put their names in. Did we catch everybody?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
I think we did.
Well, if we missed you, please accept my apologies. Throw your name in. We might be able to catch you real quick. Otherwise, we'll definitely be able to get a card for you next week.
Yep.
And, so it's kind of come to that that time of the evening. Any last thoughts on the terrifying unknown that we face every day, Dr. Hunter?
Don't let the world get you down, folks. That's all.
Absolutely.
And keep your head high and one foot in front of the other. It's all way big unknown factor going on. And we just have to narrow it down, focus on your life one foot in front of the other. Reach out if you need to.
Absolutely. Remember, no one's an island. And
no.
Give yourself a... Hold on. Excuse me. Give yourself credit for having the courage to face the unknown. Give yourself a pat on the back for those wins, for going into a situation without knowing the outcome and putting yourself out there and taking that leap of faith. it, give yourself credit when those things happen, because you deserve it. And don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear of the unknown hold you back. So,
well said.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's been a great discussion tonight. Looking forward to having you next week, where we talk about patterns and frequencies and how we tune into these things. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.